Lindy, she wasn't able to make it. This morning, Rachel woke up with a temperature and a cold and whatnot, so she is at home with Rach, but she passes on her regards. She would have loved to have been with us this morning. And do you know that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace, is much stronger and bigger and more powerful than the kingdom of this world? I'm just going to read something, Romans 5, verse 15. It says, "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died," talking about Adam and his sin, "much more," we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the kingdom of grace, "much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many." Verse 17, "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So as we come to this morning, which we're going to be wrapping up our series, our campaign on Seek First the Kingdom, we need to know that the kingdom, if you are a follower of Jesus, the kingdom that we've been transferred into is much more than the kingdom we've come from. "Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world." And we want to embrace that. We want to take everything we can from that and the implications that has for your life, for your daily life. So I should really introduce myself first, though, shouldn't I? That was just something that came in worship. That's extra. So I'm Rick. I'm one of the pastors and elders of Jubilee Church. I'm based in our Farnham site. I've been travelling the Jubilee line the last 3 weeks. So was in Farnham, then out in Borden last weekend with the family, preaching out there, and here amongst us this morning. And if you're visiting here this morning, then you have come to what's called a multi-site church. And what do I mean by that? It means that we are one church, Jubilee Church, but we're in three areas or three locations. So we're here in the Wellington School in Aldershot, Jubilee Church, Aldershot. We're also in Borden, in the Forest Community Centre. Steve couldn't quite remember the name this morning when he was talking about that. Festival place. No, that's Basingstoke. So, yeah. But we're over in Borden as well. And we're in Farnham. And you know, the wonderful thing about it is that we then have three towns that we are transforming. Three towns that we are preaching the gospel and the good news to. Three towns that we're serving the poor and the broken to. And we had a time in elders a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at, well, what's been the impact so far of our multi-site strategy of being in three towns rather than we could have just had one big church. You know, we've grown, and there is a little bit of, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics here, but we've grown at least 26% since we've started across the three churches. That's good news, isn't it? That's great news. We need to celebrate that. So one church, three locations. Get it the right way around. It's exciting, and I'm really excited to be here this morning. We were preparing, we were talking, I'll just tell you this quickly before I get into the word. We were trying to get some of the guys down the gym. I trained with Kenny down at the wonderful place called Muscle Junction. And we were trying to get a couple of the guys there to come and join us this Sunday. The one guy who said, his name's Boogs. I said, "Boogs, well, you know, what do we got to do to get you there on Sunday?" And he said, "Oh, I don't know." And then he started, you know, he has this picture of church. He said, "Well, I can imagine me coming into church, white suit, a white cane, you know, some good music going on." And I said, "I'll get the white suit out. I'll get the cane on. I'll get," he said, "is there a throne that you can sit on?" I said, "Whatever." You know, but it's fun being part of a community, isn't it? It's fun being able to be where you are and preach the good news just by being where you are. And a joy bubbling up. And I just feel this morning the Lord wants to speak to a few of us before we will actually get to the word. We will at some point. So Simon, God's got an anointing on you, and it's going to grow and increase to disciple young men particularly, to grow them, to father them, to give all that you've got. There's a store of wisdom in you that's growing. There's a store of compassion, and he's going to use you to disciple young men particularly. It's going to be natural for you. It's going to be like putting on a piece of clothing that's made specifically for you. And there's going to be an anointing of God that comes through it, and you're going to see much fruit. There's great wisdom in you, and God's going to pour that out into people's lives. So just...
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Tim. Where do I start with Tim? I feel that the Lord's going to bring you into a season where there's going to be some molding and shaping. He's going to take hold of you. He's going to just stir up the fire that is there. He's going to really begin to shape you for him in the way that he has made you. And you're going to start to see in a much clearer way exactly what he's calling you to do and exactly what he wants you to do. And it's a time and a season of shaping and molding. So just be ready for that. Good. Amen. Praise God for that. Praise God. Well, yeah, there we are. Stephen Amber. It's breakthrough. It's breakthrough on a multifaceted level that's going to go deep. And there's going to be a fresh anointing on you both. There's going to be just a shed of light, just a ray of light, just bombing down. And that's the Lord's just going to come and just break in and break through. There's going to be breakthrough in finances. I just pray that now, Lord. I pray for a breakthrough in finances. I pray for an abundance now in Jesus' name. I pray for overflowing, Lord. I pray a double blessing on those that preach the word and serve you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. I just pray it over Steve and Amber. But there's other areas as well. It's breakthrough in many areas, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nehemiah and Clements, you're a rich vein that is such a blessing in God to this church. You're called here, and we haven't yet seen the fullness yet, but there's such a richness in all that you've been through. There's a heritage in you. You know how to persevere and struggle that we here in the UK don't really know about. And you're going to be able to come alongside people and strengthen them and build faith into their lives and hearts in the midst of their struggles, because you know what struggle is. And you know what it is to know Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of those struggles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right. I'll try and get to the words then. Shall I? Thank you, David, very much. So we are in the final week of our campaign that was Seek First the Kingdom. We've taken the last 8 weeks to look at all that we can in those 8 weeks about the King and his kingdom. And we wanted this series to really challenge our thoughts, challenge our minds, challenge our conceptions and assumptions of what it means to be part of the kingdom and part of the citizen, having our citizenship in the kingdom. And we want this to change us and transform us. And I've heard it put this way, and I thought it was a really good example and picture of it, is if you were immigrating to a country, we'll just randomly pick a country, Australia. So we'll just say if we were thinking of emigrating from the UK to the warmer, to Australia, okay, then what you would do to prepare for that. And imagine if actually, you don't have to in real life, but imagine if you had to give up your citizenship here to take citizenship in Australia. You would learn all about Australia. You would learn everything you need to know about the culture so that when you get there, you are prepared for it. You'd learn how to speak. You would learn how to behave. You would learn how to act. You'd learn how to be Australian. Wouldn't that be a blessing? We would come over here then and learn how to play rugby, yeah. But we'd know how to play cricket. But you get the sense, you get the analogy that we are transferred into a new kingdom. And we haven't seen the kingdom come in its fullness, but the kingdom has started already. We are already transferred and into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And it's this opportunity now that we can learn as much as possible about that kingdom through the Word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, and bring that kingdom into reality more and more in our own lives. That's what He wants us to do. And so each week in these past 8 weeks, we've had a big idea. And the big idea this week is the kingdom of God changes everything in my world. And if you've got your handout on the way in, that's on the front page. And last week, we looked at the kingdom of God changes everything in me. We took time to see the personal impact of being a citizen of heaven. Being born again changes everything in me, and it changes everything about me. We saw how the old things die and new life emerges. Being born again, it's you, but not as we've known it. You're a new creation. You have died to sin, free from eternal life. You are now standing right with God, and He has given you a new heart with new desires. Being born again, being a citizen of the kingdom, changes everything in me. So our big idea this week moves from the internal to the external. The kingdom of God changes everything in my world. Our faith in Jesus is not meant to be a private faith only. Of course, it is a personal faith. Being part of the kingdom of God means that we display through our lives and our motivations and our families, through all that we do, we display the kingdom of God. And this morning, we want to look at what this means for you and for me. And perhaps you've heard it said, and maybe even you've said it yourself at one time, that my faith in Jesus is very personal and private. And whilst this is true in one sense, it is very personal. It's you who have been saved. It's you who are born again. I think we need to question whether it's very private. And do we see that in the Bible? Do we see a command in the Bible that says, now that you're saved, keep it to yourself? I'm not sure that we do. So whilst it's very personal, I think it's also intended to be something on display. And indeed, didn't Jubilee Aldershot hear from God about being a display people? Our faith is meant to be on display and to display the King and His kingdom in some way. So what are the implications of this for you and for me? And that's what we're going to talk about. And if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 6. See, Matthew chapter 6 is where we got the title for this whole campaign We call them campaigns. It's our preaching series and everything that we do together. But in fact, if you look in verse 33, you'll see where we get the title from. Verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We've been called, we've been encouraged to seek first the kingdom. And it's been wonderful to go through. I hope you found it helpful to go through these past 8 weeks, and we've explored all of that. And this morning, we will look at Matthew 6 and explore the idea of how the kingdom of God changes everything in my world. And let's start towards the end of the chapter and work backwards. It's not an ideal way of reading your Bible. I wouldn't encourage anyone to read their Bible backwards. But this morning, I think it's going to help our purposes. So we're going to start in verse 19. "Do not store up treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal, and where your treasure, for where your treasure is," sorry, verse 21, "for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." It's quite a punchy start, right? Jesus instructs us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And remember, we're exploring this morning what it means and what are the implications that the kingdom of God changes everything in my world. And right here, right at the beginning this morning, Jesus says, don't do the one thing that the world tells you to do your whole life. Jesus immediately tells us why storing treasures on earth is a bad idea. Can anyone see it? Well, they don't last. Can't take them to heaven. They get stolen, rusty, destroyed. See, Jesus says, don't do it. He then goes on to instruct us to store up treasures for yourself. And have a look at that. Read your Bibles carefully. It says, store up treasures for yourself in heaven. Because in heaven, they won't get stolen or rusty or destroyed, but rather they'll last for eternity. And we're going to fill in the blanks now. And I have to tell us, it's a bit of a confession time for me, that the order of the blanks is slightly different. Now, I have spent quite a lot of time putting some of this material together. We did it all together. But, you know, each week I'd be reminding the guy, you know, how did it go with the fill in the blanks? How's it going? And make sure you've got all of that. I then went and prepared my sermon this week completely without one regard for the fill in the blanks. and then Steve, thankfully, yesterday afternoon, quite late yesterday afternoon, said, how's everything? You know, anything special with the slides? And I'm like, no, the slides, fine. And I thought, the slides? Oh yeah, there's fill in the blanks. So thankfully my sermon actually has all the points, but in a slightly different order. So we are going to go to point two on your sheet first. And it says, we are to store up treasures in heaven. We've been looking at that. They won't get stolen or rusty, and they'll last for eternity. So what do we need to do in order to do this? Or to ask the question slightly differently, what stops us from doing this? It's a really clear instruction from Jesus, and yet we can sometimes struggle with it. And I'd suggest that what we need to understand is how this life fits in within the context of eternity. And eternity can be a really quite a difficult thing to grasp hold of, this sense of just endless time. And yet, if we see that all that life is these few years on earth, then there's no motivation to store up treasures in heaven. If our focus is solely on these 80, 90, 100 years that we're given, then that's where our focus will be. And if that's all there is, if it's just this life, then we may as well eat, drink, and be merry. But to those of us who are followers of Christ, and what I mean by that is those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then we are in the kingdom of God. It's an eternal kingdom. And so actually, this earthly life, the life that we are living now, which seems so real to us, and sometimes we can't even think or grasp anything outside of this life, is but a speck on our horizons. If we're to stand back and look at the landscape of our histories, the earthly time will be just a speck. So Jesus says, store up treasures for yourself in heaven, where you're going to spend most of your time, and where they won't rust, they won't get destroyed, and they won't get stolen. You will have them there in eternity forever. And then he goes on to tell us why it's really important that we do this. And it's verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, if you treasure the things of this world, your heart will be there. If your treasure is in the kingdom of God, then your heart will be in the kingdom. Jesus' instruction to us has a very real application in our lives, in today's culture, and it will have an impact on eternity. So we're going to fill in the next blank. We devote ourselves to the things we treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You see, in essence, I think Jesus is telling us to not be squeezed into the mold of this world, which says, get ahead, build an empire, keep up with the Joneses, get a bigger house, a better car, a better job, a fancy holiday. Get all these things and you will be secure and you will be valued and you will be significant. And Jesus says, don't do it. Don't buy into it. He says, actually, do the opposite. Store up treasures for yourself in heaven. And then he goes on to say, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And Jesus uses really strong language here, doesn't he? Hate the one and love the other. Devoted to one, despise the other. There isn't any middle ground here. Jesus doesn't give us that option. Jesus doesn't say, you've got it, champ. You've got this. You can manage it. He doesn't say that. He says, hate the one and love the other. So where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. What you value most and what you put your security in and what looms largest in your life will also be where your heart is. So what we do with our money and possessions is important. We're going to the next blank. No one can serve two masters. The kingdom of God changes everything in my world. It speaks to things around security. It speaks of about eternal perspective, where we're to store up treasures. So let's move on to the next part of chapter 6. From verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus starts this passage with "for this reason." What reason? For this reason. The reason being that you cannot serve two masters, which is another way of saying you can only serve one. And for all of us that are followers of Jesus, the only master we should serve is Jesus. And he says, do not be worried about your life. And here I think Jesus is talking about motivations. He's speaking into our motivations. He says, what I believe he's saying is that if you are worried about your life, if you're worried about what you will eat and what you will wear and where you will live and what you will drive and where you will work, it's very likely that you'll end up serving wealth. Because in this world, wealth is what presents and looks to provide the solution to all of these things. What you will eat, what you will wear, where you will live. But what happens is that wealth, which at first appears to provide the solution, begins to reveal its true self. And as may be quoted in one of your version of the Bible, it reveals itself as mammon, which becomes an object of worship. And in the end, wealth isn't the solution, but rather mammon becomes the master. And it's important to see that if mammon becomes the master, then you become the slave. And so Jesus says, don't do it. And he calls us to a radically different life. Remember, we're looking at how being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven changes everything in my world. Jesus is encouraging us to reject serving money and embrace serving him. He calls us to follow him, leaving all of that behind, and denying ourselves, losing our lives, so that we will find true life in him. He's challenging us to look at and understand what are our reasons and motivations for living, what underpins the way that we live. And even more than that, when we distill it right down, he's asking us, who are you trusting in? Where is your trust? And in this passage, he encourages us to look at the natural order of things. He says, it's almost like in today's language, you say, go and watch Blue Planet 2 and look at how much the Father loves you. If God feeds the bird and makes the flowers and the grass grow, how much more will he look after you? He compares all of Solomon's glory and says that it doesn't compare to the lilies of the field. He says that with all the wealth in the world, Solomon was known for having a few quid. He couldn't compare to the beauty of the lilies in the field, which God made. And he then goes on to say, do not worry about these things. And he says something, he says, the Gentiles do these things. And what that means in the context of what Jesus is saying is, those that are outside of the kingdom worry about these things, but not you. And I think he'd say to us today, he says, don't follow the mainstream culture of the world. Don't let them set your agenda. Don't let them dictate your world to you and what your life is about and where you should put your trust. Because Jesus says your heavenly Father knows all that you need. He's close. He's not far off. He's not removed. He's not a stern old man up in the clouds. He's a loving heavenly Father that knows all that you need and is well able to provide. It's quite a challenging message, because it gets right down to, what is it that we trust in? Who is it that we're ultimately trusting? And Jesus encourages us to put our trust in him, because he is faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is always there for us. That doesn't mean life always works out the way we want it to work out. But what it does mean is that he is always with us in whatever way life works out. And let's move on now. We'll see what else it means to seek first the kingdom. So we'll go to the start of chapter 6. Beware of practicing, so verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored before men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who is in heaven, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And I think we've got a couple of things that we can pick up on here when we're talking about the kingdom of God changes everything in my world. And the first thing we need to note is that we practice our righteousness. And I just think, have you ever thought of that? That you practice your righteousness? Well, if we do practice righteousness. Jesus says that we do practice it and encourages us that the way of the kingdom is to live your life before God and not man. Living the Christian life is to be done in the midst of an audience of one. It's God we do things for. It's God that we receive our reward from, and it's God who we look to please. So we don't live our lives to get applause by men and women, but rather to please God. And that changes everything in my world. That really changes everything. Because so much of the current culture of this world and the culture that we live in is about looking good in front of others. And here Jesus reminds ourselves that we practice our righteousness before God. And that's the next blank. Our primary audience for this life is God. See, Jesus says we don't live for the applause of men, but rather when you give, do it in secret. So your Father in heaven, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And in this passage, Jesus is contrasting the practice of religion and life in the kingdom. He said it's the hypocrites in the synagogues that do it out in front of everyone to get applause from men. But he says that's not the way to do it in the kingdom. He says in the kingdom, do it in secret. So it's your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And that's so challenging because it gets to the very heart of our pride. See, so often when we do something good, we kind of want to just tell people, don't we? Yeah, I just got to slip it into the conversation there. It's this thing that just grows up inside of us. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. And he's talking about giving here. And he says, when you give in secret, your Father sees and will reward you. Don't go after getting applause from men, but delight in knowing that your Father in heaven sees you and will reward you. See, in the kingdom life, we co-labor, we're partners, if you like, with Christ and working towards becoming more like our Lord Jesus. And here Jesus is encouraging us not only to do the good thing, which is to give, but so he says do the good thing, but he's also giving us an opportunity to trust in God. And not only is he giving us an opportunity to trust, and when I mean trust, it means that your Father sees what you've done in secret and will reward you. He then gives us the opportunity to put our pride to death at the same time. That we don't go and tell everyone that we've done this wonderful thing, even though we kind of sometimes feel like, shouldn't people know about this? But he says, don't do that. And for us, it's then a win-win-win situation. We win because we give to the poor. We win because our Father knows what we're doing in secret and says, promises he will reward us. And we win because we put our pride to death. What a wonderful calling we have. And then, of course, we move on now to the heart of chapter 6, which is what's called the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus teaches us about where we should pray. Not on street corners to be observed, but somewhere private where it's just you and God. starting in verse 9, it says, "Pray then this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And in brackets, my version says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See, this simple but profound prayer shows us the kingdom life and how it changes everything in our worlds. The first priority is the King and giving honor and praise and glory to our Father who is in heaven. We seek the kingdom first. It's not our second priority. It's not what's left over when we've done the rest of life. It's our first priority. We do it first and we give our first fruits to God in honor and praise and glory. Hallowed be your name. And when we do all this in our lives, we begin to position things correctly. God is God and we are his creation. Not the other way around. God is God, hallowed be your name, and we are his creation. Seek first the kingdom and give God the glory first. And then we move on, doing all that we can to advance his kingdom. And we see his will being done on earth. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, "We are God's fellow workers, co-laborers maybe. You are God's field, God's building, and we pray your will be done and your kingdom come in all that we do." God's kingdom is our priority. We trust in God for his provision. Give us this day our daily bread. See, the kingdom life means we come to terms with the fact that God is our ultimate and actual provider. See, it's easy to slip into when we're working and getting our salary and we're working hard, which is all good. It's easy to slip into the fact that I've earned that money. But actually, all things come from God. The gifts and the abilities to be able to get the job or do the job that we're doing, run the business that we're running, it all comes from God. I'm just a steward of what he's given me. So my question is not, how can I spend my time and treasure and talents on myself? But rather, if I understand that he is my provider and that I'm but a steward, the question becomes, Lord, how do you want me to spend my time and my treasure and my talents to advance your kingdom? It's a really different question, but it's really freeing. So we thank God for his forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive, as we have also forgiven others. We are washed clean and given a new start. We walk daily in his forgiveness and we give him thanks for that. And furthermore, life in the kingdom means that we forgive others. And we don't forgive them because they are forgivable. We don't even forgive them because they've realized the error of their ways. And we don't even forgive them necessarily because they've said sorry. In this kingdom life, we forgive others because we have been forgiven by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our debt that we individually had to pay because we were stuck in our sins, we could never have repaid ourselves. We couldn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps out of our sin. We just couldn't do it. And yet, God, through Jesus Christ, sends the very one, the sinless sin offering, to repay our debt. To take the wrath of God. And we are forgiven. We are forgiven a debt that was so large we could never repay it. And because of that, we forgive others. The separation between us and God was so large that the only person, Jesus Christ, could repay that debt and remove the separation. And as we remind ourselves of that fact, daily thanking God for his forgiveness, we also forgive others. It's the kingdom life and it changes everything in my world. See, there's really practical applications that changes the way that we do life. And this morning we've just been reminding ourselves, what are some of those? We seek first his kingdom. We do things for an audience of God. We serve Christ. So can I have the band back up, Pete? If that's Pete and anyone else. And this is our time to come and respond. The kingdom life is the best life we can possibly live. And as we come now to worship, shall we stand to our feet if we can? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for each one of us here. Lord, if we've received you as Savior, then you have cancelled a debt that we could never cancel in a lifetime of lifetimes. We are so grateful for your forgiveness. Thank you that we are transferred into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken out the heart of stone and you've given us a heart of flesh, which is just wired differently. It's new desires to please you, to advance your kingdom, to do what is right. Thank you, Lord, that we have an advocate, that when we do stumble, grace abounds even more. Hallelujah. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh with a heart that's changed. Lord, this is a lifetime adventure. Wherever we are today, tomorrow can be more understanding and pursuing and pushing into the kingdom of God, and each and every day. So wherever we are today, Lord, there's more of you tomorrow. There's more of your kingdom to understand and live out. And I pray for a fresh touch of your Spirit to come and just charge our hearts, charge our minds, charge our innermost beings with being just wrapped up in you, caught in you. My prayer, Lord, for all of us here this morning is that we seek first your kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship him, and we'd love to pray with anyone that would love to get a fresh touch of God and just step into this life that he's calling us to. Amen. Let's worship him.
Just remember Simon's words, was it left? Still, it'd be good just to wait for a moment. Just kind of been feeling that all morning.